of you guys, and welcome to the Faith Game. My name is Violet Summersby. I am 20 years old, and I'm originally from Portland, Oregon. I'm here with my sister, Michelle.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, my name is Michelle. I'm from Ecuador, and currently I am 23, almost turning 24, and welcome to this podcast. So, first of all, we're going to explain a little bit about this. What's this podcast about? Why God has placed in our hearts to do this? Why we started doing this? And like I was telling my sister, this isn't about teaching people, but basically just sharing our experience, our daily lives. And
yeah, so I mean, each one of us is very different. We have different personalities. You know, we handle situations differently. And part of what this podcast is, it's how we live our lives daily. You know, we're going to show that we make mistakes, that we are at fault sometimes, but how we still correct that path to walk with Christ, you know?
Yeah. So, we would like to start first with a prayer, a quick small prayer, just so we can be guided by not our own feelings, but what the Holy Spirit puts in our hearts. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will help us and will guide us through the podcast, and all will be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, awesome. We would like to talk about a little bit about our testimonies and how God has a calling for everybody and how that calling has been there even before we knew about him. So we can start with my sister Violet. So she's gonna share her testimony.
Yeah, so originally, I found God a couple of years ago, but originally I was an atheist. So I was living back in Portland, Oregon with my family, and either on my dad's side, they were Catholic, some of them, and what my dad called himself spiritual. My mom's was atheist or agnostic, they just didn't know. And so I lived most of it not knowing Christ, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of walking and just by happening, I always thought things just happened because they happened.
Maybe you can also share why your mom used to tell you about like God and stuff like that.
So like with my mom, I think a big thing was like she just, when it was brought up, it was more of brought up as a joke. Like, because when we did see, you know, people that believed in God, they would, what I remember seeing is people holding signs saying, like, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. What I would hear is, like, the people on the streets shouting at you, like, you have to accept Jesus, or you're going to die, or you're a sinner. And so that's how God was perceived to me, is that, like, it's people on the streets just kind of screaming at you and saying, if you don't do this, you're going to fail, you know, pretty much.
How that made you, like, choose to either avoid that God or like not believe in him, like how that affected you in a way?
In school, I remember when people did try to bring it up, like I would kind of laugh at it. Like it was, like I said, I took it as a joke. Mm-hmm. I didn't think of it very seriously. You know, I didn't pray or anything like that. I believed everything that was science. There had to be a fact. Like it was never, oh, you just have to have faith. No, tell me why, like what's happening. And if it wasn't like that, I wouldn't believe it, you know?
Okay, so basically you needed like facts to really believe in that.
Exactly.
Okay, you ever felt like there was something missing?
So in high school I had some downs, like some really depressed periods. And during those, there were a few moments where I would be like, okay, if there is someone up there, if there is something listening, you know, get me out of this. And it's like, you, as an atheist, you don't, you know, believe God until it gets bad. And okay. Once it gets really bad, then sometimes you're like, okay, you know, everyone's talking about this God, show me yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's about when you see it.
Okay, do you have maybe any experience or any like moment when you called that God even though you didn't believe in him?
Well, there was some like lonely nights, definitely. I think at my worst was, you know, you're crying in your bedroom, you have no one to go to, no one that you trust, you know, you're really sad and you're like, all right, I'm either gonna end it all or like show me that there's hope, like God, if you are there, if you were existing, you know, you're crying your eyes out, you're like, give me some hope or show me a sign. And maybe you say something like, if tomorrow, if you're real, you know, there'll be, this will happen. And that's something I would do, as I would say, like, God, if you are real, show me this exact thing. And, like, the day later it would happen.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's pretty interesting.
For myself. Everyone's is different. But that's kind of, like, what would happen to me is I would be, like, I would tell God what to, like, to do at the time when I didn't believe and say, show me this. So it was, like, it was giving me signs that he was real.
Okay. So, okay. That's really cool, like, to see and to know, like, there is a God that was calling her and even showing himself through whatever she was asking for, you know? What was now, okay, so how did you start knowing about this God? Like,
so, in my current relationship with your brother.
So, we're sisters-in-laws, okay?
Yeah. Point, sister-in-law. I mean, he came into my life at a time where it was, like, really dark. The months before I'd met, like probably about a year before I'd met him, I had my appendix removed, and that was like a scary situation because I almost died. I still didn't believe in Christ, and during the first year that we were together, he would bring it up, but I would ask him like, hey, I'm not going to take it seriously. And so I didn't really start taking it seriously until our relationship started going through hell.
Okay.
Like, we were fighting every day. It was awful. We would scream at each other from like across the streets, like, I'm gonna break up with you. And then the other one would be like, no, don't go. Like, it was that because he had moved there and it was just at a hard period. Considering he was, backstory, he was originally from New York and he moved to Portland to be with me. We were fighting constantly. And one day he comes up to me and he's like, please just think about accepting Jesus. And if you don't want to, I can't continue in this relationship. And so that night I did. And it was my choice, even though it seems like it was forced, it was my choice. And that's when things slowly started to change.
Okay, that's good. I remember you used to tell me when we used to talk, you started to choose to believe in Christ because you didn't want to leave George.
Yeah.
So, but it's pretty interesting, I think, how God works, because maybe that was her beginning, but now it's totally different thing.
Definitely.
So, when you started choosing to believe in Christ because you didn't want to leave George, how was that life like at that moment?
I mean, obviously you've grown this like affection towards somebody, so because you don't want to lose them, you'll do anything to keep them, which is unhealthy. But slow things started to happen. Like, you know, picking up my Bible was a really weird experience because I didn't have one, so George gave me his. Trying to read it and trying to understand that, I had a lot of questions, a lot of things didn't make sense, like, I don't understand Adam and Eve, I don't understand the creation, I don't understand Revelations, like, this whole thing is all new to me. Like, I had never read a single verse in the Bible, I could have cared less before this. And I remember I'd call you when me and George would fight, and you would try to explain that you can't give somebody the whole cake. You can only give them a sliver in the beginning. And that was one of the most helpful things that you told us, because it's what I kept bringing up. I was like, remember, I'm just beginning. I'm a baby in this walk. Like, please let me crawl before I stand and run. You know, give me little bits. And so that was the best thing. I remember me and George would pray together every night, which, again, was weird. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know if there was a certain way you had to pray or if you could just do it. And so I would let George lead, and I remember feeling really uncomfortable every time he would have me do it. Things were getting better. The thing is, like, even though we would still fight sometimes the same, there was something more than the two of us now holding us together. It was like, if you're going to get through this, you're going to get through this because of God and not because you guys' own will, because we did not have the will at the time to stay together. You know, we were fighting all the time.
Okay, that's cool. When did you start noticing that you yourself needed to know more, but not because of George, but because of yourself?
I think, honestly, it was shortly before George came here, and then I followed him to New York.
Yeah.
So he had decided he wanted to move back to New York, and shortly before that, I was beginning to read my Bible on my own. I would sit in my garden and read, attempting to go on this journey a little further, but it really started once I moved here. I think because the people in this household are so dedicated in their faith that the energy that was here pushed me to follow through too.
Okay.
In this last year, I went in deep, like fully reading full books in the Bible, you know, making sure that I'm praying at night and just trying to learn as much as possible. Attending church, that started happening when I was in Portland, but it didn't start happening consistently until right before we were moving back.
Okay. And can you share maybe any experience that now you knew that there is this God and how much He wanted to be with you that you maybe had after receiving Christ? Like maybe that experience where you were like, wow, yeah, God does really love me. God is really wanting to be with me. Like a peace that started coming into your heart. Something that have maybe changed that you never really thought it would change?
I mean, I had dreams that kind of gave me revelations of what could happen if I didn't continue. I had a dream about revelations, which we can talk about another time. I started creating goals, which was new too, and those goals became more clear to me through God. And like, I remember asking, like pastor asked me a question one time, he's like, what if you're meant to speak about God? Like, what if you're meant to be a preacher or be on stage? Because I'd always wanted to be on stage in some sort, whether it was singing or speaking or whatever it was. I got a thrill from it. And so there's a lot of little things and not just like one big thing, but it was mostly little messages consistently in sense. I mean, a lot of things were like things in threes. Like I would hear the same message over and over again, making it clear that that's the direction I was supposed to go in. Because I think a lot of times we're confused, and one way is like we don't know which direction we need to go in. And so when we hear that consistent message, it's probably from God, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I trust, at least.
Okay. So, what do you think was the hardest thing for you, that you say, okay, I need to change this, or I need to start doing this, but you knew it was, like, something, or I cannot do it on my own kind of thing?
Oh, so I had a lot of grudges against some family members, and I needed, especially my mom, like it was hard with my mom when I was younger because we would fight a lot. And so there was a lot of things in my past that I didn't want to forgive her for. And it took me a long time. I remember when I moved here, I had conversations with you, like, you know, you have to forgive her. And I'd be like, I'm not ready yet. And that was a long process, and it took probably about a year and a half before I was ready to forgive. And that was hard because it's like you are constantly having these same emotions bubble back up, these same memories come back, and you're like, if I'm walking with Christ, I'm supposed to be all forgiving and all loving and all this, but I'm having these emotions that aren't loving, that aren't that sort of feeling, that doesn't make sense to me. And so that was definitely a really difficult part, is feeling things that I wasn't supposed to feel, or that I didn't think I was supposed to feel as a Christian, because I didn't know that it was okay to feel those things.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that at the time, that, you know, it's okay to feel really intensely angry about something or deep sadness about something. I do also know now that you can't let those emotions control your whole day. But at the time, I didn't know these things. I didn't know it was even okay to feel them. So that was definitely a mixed feeling I had, and a hard thing to get through, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's pretty cool that you talk about it, because like the process of forgiving somebody, it's not something that happens like automatically, but it's actually a long process that I think most of us have someone to forgive, because I don't think anyone on this earth has not been to themselves, nobody has made them wrong, but there's actually at least one person that we might need to forgive.
Right, definitely.
Maybe we can talk about this in a future podcast about forgiving, the forgiveness process.
Yeah, definitely.
Now that you think maybe back on your life, what would you maybe say to those people that were in your situation before?
I would say for them to, first off, you know, understand that you're not alone in your situation, because a lot of people think that they're the only ones feeling this, or that they're all alone in this journey, and they're not. You know, God's always with you, even if you don't see Him, even if you don't feel Him, even if you don't hear Him. If you give Him the time and you open yourself up to it, He will speak to you. But it may take effort on your part to do the searching.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I would tell my younger self is like, even as an atheist, I think I would say, hey, maybe look at yourself spiritual. Maybe that's mm-hmm. why you're not so happy, is you don't have any spiritual grounding. Whatever you want to call that, you don't have any spiritual grounding, mm-hmm. Violet. You know, that's why you're feeling so lost. Because I think a lot of people, once they find that they're, who they are isn't determined by outside things, but what comes within, and that's how God, the Holy Spirit comes, it comes within us, mm-hmm. and then outwardly, we can then learn to love ourselves, and we can learn to be better, and we can finally walk this journey that we didn't see before, because mm-hmm. you can't walk the journey without learning to love yourself throughout that process.
Yeah, you know? I agree with that. How you see yourself now?
A lot more confident.
Okay.
I'm a lot more confident. I think I'm a lot happier. I was always happy, but like I wouldn't, it was like the happiness was kind of fake sometimes, and now I don't fake it as much. I've learned to control my anger, and it shows differently now. Instead of like bursts of anger, I have when I get angry, I smile, but it's weird because it's like my angry smile, it's like my angry happy. And I know that I'm not alone when I'm angry either. Like I don't need to keep it all inside. I can have people to talk to. I can talk to Victor or George, or I can call my grandma. There's people outside that are willing to help mm-hmm. me when I'm feeling like a lot of emotions. My relationship's a lot better. Oh my gosh, my relationship's a lot better. We don't fight about anything except picking up our socks on the floor. Like it's just so much healthier. You know, I tackle situations better. I realize that, you know, if I'm confused about topics, maybe it's because I'm trying to do the hard lifting when really I'm supposed to give the hard, difficult things to God to do the hard lifting. You know, I realize it's a lot more stress-free. Like, I don't know, it's just a better experience and it's easier living, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's really cool that you mentioned that, because what I really liked what you said was that it's okay to feel maybe angry or sad or upset, because sometimes, like, we hear, oh, this person is a Christian, oh, she's a Christian, oh, he's a Christian. Well, being a Christ follower doesn't mean you're gonna be like all perfect and like you're gonna be the one that always do the good things.
Definitely.
But it's a walk where you learn and you want to be better, but you yourself can say, okay, I cannot change this on my own. I need that a spiritual person to help me out. And I think that's really cool that you mentioned that. So it's okay if you might feel right now angry or upset or even maybe sad, maybe with somebody or even to yourself. But it's okay to feel those things. And it's also good to know that, hey, God's still there with you. And He still has a perfect plan written out for you.
So for you, as somebody that's known of a God for a long time,
yeah.
You know, when you were young, what were your experiences like back in Ecuador? Because that's definitely different than living here.
Yeah, definitely. Right now, I live in New York City. When I was in Ecuador, I used to live in the countryside, where basically mountains and like a farm. And my grandparents, I was raised with my grandparents, and they were Catholic. So they will always take me like to mass, and they will start used to talk to me about like God and like pray, but in a way of like God, like above God, you don't really see, or you cannot really have like a conversation with God because He's like high up there, you know. For me, it was like that. I always had this urge inside to know a little bit more about who's this God, but I didn't know that before. But I always wanted to be involved in something related with like either church or nuns or anything that relates like, okay, this is God, you know? And so yeah, my grandparents, they used to take my brother and I to those events where they will do celebrations to like, well, basically they do celebrations to different saints and like big parties about it. But I always question, okay, so there was actually moments where this, I don't want to say the position of the person, but this person will like preach and everything, but at the end of the day he will end up drunk. So I always kind of question that, like, you know, like interesting, like, but what is this about? And yeah, so that's basically how I was raised, in about knowing God, like that he's not a God, like you can know him like intimately, but like he's super far away, you know?
Did that affect you as a kid, of like the idea that, you know, the thing that you were supposed to be closest to was actually far away from you, you know?
Well, it did affect me in a way, but I always remember that in my hardest moments where like I had nobody else, I will always call on to him. At least be there with me, you know, ask him to be at that moment with me, because it was really hard for us, I think, because my aunt was the one that would always be there to take care of us. But when she left to college, there was nobody else. So that's when I started to rely more, okay, on like, let me call out to this God.
So, you know, because I was an atheist, so I don't know too much about this experience, because you grew up knowing mm-hmm. that there was a God. But was there ever a time in your life that, did you ever question it as a kid? Like, are they telling you what's true? Or was there a time that it became very clear to you that it this is real, what they're talking about? Like, one or the other?
Well, to be honest, I never questioned it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I never questioned, like, oh, is there really a God? But teachings that the priest will always give were always the same. So it's like every Sunday was repeated. So I thought like there might be something else, until actually there was one time, there was this priest when he started like preaching something differently. And it was really interesting, because that's when I started really enjoying going to church. Even though it was Catholic church, I started, like, I wanted to go and learn a little bit about what he was teaching. It was just the same repeated thing, you know? And it doesn't really make you grow. It just makes you stay on the same level and just, like, pray to a God that you don't even know that's there with you.
Was there a time in Ecuador where you really had to, like, lean onto your faith?
Yeah, so there was actually one experience that I always, now that I remember it, I always think, well, I was never alone. Because, so it was actually, I was going through a really awful moment at that time. And I remember that I woke up super early in the morning because I was in a really bad situation. And I just leaned against the wall, and then I sit on the floor, and I was cold, and I remember that I prayed, but I didn't like pray, oh Heavenly Father, I prayed like, God, just help me, you know? So yeah, that's where I asked God to like help me, and like to not leave me by myself.
I mean, you had a really great message. I do like that you talked about a moment that was hard in your life. It shows that you're capable of, even your hard moments, to look to something light. But, and you did grow up in Ecuador, but you obviously are here now. So during that transition period, what were you thinking when you had to move here? Like, were you like, God, why are you moving me? Why, like, did you ever wonder what was making you move from, like, why you had to move? Like, what was this part of your path, or were you just so young that it didn't?
So, you know, that's a pretty interesting question, because I remember when I used to be with my grandparents and my brother, and we used to take care of the animals, you know, like feed them. I would always see the airplanes, and I would always wonder, what day I'm gonna be on an airplane eating burgers and fries? Like, I thought like you'll be on an airplane and that's why they serve you, because I will always like hear movies or like stuff like that, like they eat like good food, you know? So I always like imagine myself in that. And that's pretty interesting, because it's like it became a reality later in life, you know? To be honest, I didn't want to come here. Mm-hmm. I told my grandparents, I'm just only there for 2 months and then I'm coming back, because I don't want to stay here. I wanted to stay in Ecuador. And so it's pretty interesting, because God used my brother to actually make, I think, both of us come here. Because the only reason why I came here, I can say like at the moment, that the only reason why I came here was because of him. He wanted to come, so I was like, okay, we'll go. But but now I'm coming back, you can stay. Like, that was my plan. And so that was the actual reason why I came. I don't want, like, I didn't know I was gonna like learn here about God and who He is and learn about His love and like whatever He, like what the things that He can do. And actually, when I was like a month before I came in Ecuador, they do like this celebration on Christmas where they like they have this ceremony for they call it the baby Jesus, the statue. And I was dressed up as the Virgin Mary, and I remember my parents telling me like, don't do that, that's not good. And I would always question them, like in my mind. And I would tell my grandparents and my aunt, like, I don't know why they don't want me to do this, if this is from God, like this is something good. And I will say that. So when I came here, I was like very like questionable about why they don't want me to do God stuff, like, you know, that type of thing. And I told them, hey, I want to finish my confirmation, because over there I did my first communion. So I was like, I want to finish my confirmation. And at that time, they started already going to church. So they were just beginning to learn about God. So that's why they knew about like a little bit more about like what's really a walk with God. So I was like, I want to finish my confirmation here. And I told them I wanted to do it. And I think that's pretty cool that they let me do it, because they didn't say no to me, even though they knew what really that was. After I finished that, I started going to their church, I started learning a little bit more about like God and Jesus and like what does it mean to become a child of God. And I think that was pretty interesting, because the things that they used to teach was touching my heart. And it felt weird, because it felt like, whoa, this is what I was missing. This is like filling me in. Like, this is so weird. Why does it make me feel like, oh, it makes you want to learn more and more and more and more. And you have like that feeling when you're growing into Christ. And yeah, and like that was the process. And now that I think back, I think, whoa, God has a plan, you know, and He tries to work it out in any type of way so that you can learn about Him, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah.
So, we know a lot about what happened in Ecuador, but I'm curious of, you know, how old were you when you came here?
I think 11.
So, is that middle school or elementary school?
So, well, education is totally different over there. Let's say, example, over there, high school is 6 years, so I was just starting high school over there. Mm. So when I came here, they put me on like, well, they dropped me 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I started
school?
I started on sixth grade.
Yeah, middle school. Yeah. So what was like your middle school, like your schooling experience? Because you also went into college too. So did your faith change as you know during those years when you were in school, and was your faith tested at all? Like when you had to. Like, because classes aren't easy, and for anybody, especially, you know, students, it's hard to go through the ups and downs of the high school, middle school experience. But you didn't know English when you came here,
mm-hmm.
So was that hard?
It was hard. So I was really shy back then, like super shy. I would cover my face with my hair, and I was really awful at doing presentations. And I remember that my first year in middle school, that was the year that I did my confirmation. And at the end of that year, I started to learn about God and His word. And I remember that through that process, that was the most awful year, because I had no friends. I didn't know the language. My grades were like 50, 60, like they were awful. But because I was in a only English school, middle school, I was forced to learn the language. So it actually, I think it's pretty good, because I always question, when will I learn, when will I be able to speak English and everything. But now it's like, it was a process.
Mm-hmm.
How God helped me through that, it was, my faith was never really, I think like, you know, I don't know, but God presents to me in a total different way that I can not just like, when I hear something about Him, it just, in me, it believes automatically. Like, I remember they would tell me, oh, ask God to give friends, to give you friends in school. And I will do that. I will, before the year started, I will pray to God, God, please give me some friends. And He will do it. And I wasn't even bullied in school. And the friends that I had, they were always like really nice people to me. And I will always be like, wow, God, you did give me like really good friends. But I think the hardest thing for me was that I wasn't really open to who I am, to, let's say, my parents, so they can help me out maybe. But I think the hardest thing of my faith was that my emotions, I didn't know how to control my emotions. So if something I felt, that's what I would follow. If it was good or bad, that's what I would follow. But I didn't even know about like how emotions really affected your life.
Is there anything you did to grow your relationship? Like, as you began to learn more, was there something you did throughout your schooling to begin growing that relationship that you had? You know, like, how did you know that by just praying for good friends that you would get them? Because my high school experience, like, I was an atheist, but was a lot different. Like, crazy different. I mean, I went to a massive high school. In the beginning of the years, I had lots of friends, and then I went from, like, no, like, a lot of friends to no friends really quickly, like, in a matter of 2 years. Just through, like, bad friendships, toxic relationships, just a bunch of different things. But it seems like yours wasn't like that at all. So what do you think kept you, you know, kind of safe, almost? Like, what kept you...
Well, so...
faithful, or, like, yeah. What allowed you to be faithful?
So, the thing is that I had a Bible like this, but it was a different version. And I remember I used to read it constantly, every night, because I wanted to learn more. Like, I was so hungry about learning. Like, it was something that I couldn't sleep without reading it. And I remember one time, I don't know if it was my mom or my dad, but they said, if you ask God to do something for you, He'll do it. And the reason that I asked for friends, it was because like school for me was really hard in a way of like I was super shy. So if I had no friends, I would try to avoid lunch, or like, because I didn't know who to sit with. Like, I was, okay, who I'm going to sit with? Mm-hmm. You know, those were like the hardest questions for me on like high school, you know? And so that's why I wanted to have friends, so I can have someone to go sit with. I remember that I believed that word so much that I did ask God to give me friends, you know? I think the reason that also I didn't really went to a bunch of things in high school, it's also because maybe God knew me. And it's crazy because the word does say that God knows you. And I think that if I was placed in that other situation, I think that my emotions will have had a greater, more impact than that. I think I will have ended up making like really, really wrong choices. Mm-hmm. Even though I did make wrong choices, but if I was more open to the world, I think I will have fallen in more.
What do you think it takes to be reading your Bible every night? Like, because for myself, I find, you know, I'm trying to go on my own spiritual journey as an adult. And I'm having difficulties, because I know I need to. Like, in your heart, in your spirit, you know you need to.
Mm-hmm.
But you, at a young age, had this dedication towards it. What do you think caused that dedication? You know, like...
So, basically, I think every Christian or Christ follower in the beginning has that hunger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a newborn baby. They want their milk, right? So...
Yeah.
God will always be willing to feed you.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets to the point, so I think in the beginning you have that urge to learn more, like to learn, okay, who's this God, you know? But I think that changes as you grow in your relationship with God, and it gets to the point that it's not about you wanting to, or you waiting for that wanting in your heart to learn the Bible, but it's a commitment even you, maybe you might feel tired or sleepy or you just don't feel like reading your Bible, but because of that commitment that you did, because now you're a grown up, you're not a kid anymore, you have with God that commitment, so that makes you like read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the beginning, everybody, I don't know if it's everybody, but most of us have that wanting to learn more about this God.
Right. So we've talked about Ecuador, we've talked about high school. We haven't talked too much about your college experience. Did anything change with your faith while you were in college? Did it grow? Did you have struggles? Like, what were some of your struggles as you went through your college experience?
So actually, everything started when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
No high school, actually, like around middle school, because I didn't really have a good relationship with my parents, mostly with my mom, because she had a very like strong temperament, so she will get angry really easily, and I was that type of person back then. I can say back then because now I thank God he has helped me on that. Like back then, I will, whatever you said to me, I will take on.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not speak about it to you, or I will not talk to you or anybody about it, because I really had nobody really to talk to. So that's why I think I also relied so much on God, because I could let myself out. Like I could talk to him about how I felt and everything. So how she used to like how she used to be, really did, I think I let that affect me, because I became very close, like, mm-hmm. And I will just have and keep my problems to myself. So that made me have a really low self-esteem, and not just that, it also because it also made me like make wrong choices, but all my choices were according to like feelings, like how that made me feel.
Mm-hmm.
So my faith, I think, like my growth with God, I think it went like
up and down.
But the thing is that the ups were high, but the downs were really low too.
Right.
Like, because I was in high school, it was really hard for me. I always like question, why they have the girls have boyfriends and everything. And I always like question that, you know? Like, I was wondering, when will I have mine and stuff like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But because I didn't have anybody to talk about it, I always have my own thoughts, and that's the wrong thing that you can do, because sometimes your thoughts are not the best,
right?
Because you don't have the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that's why I made a lot of wrong choices, and high school was a little bit tough, because there were times when I would just like not talk to my parents about anything because of the wrong things that I was doing. And that's crazy to think about, because sometimes we think, she goes to church, she must be doing like really good and with her family and everything, but no, that's not true.
Yeah.
Actually, I was doing really bad, like really awful. There were moments where I would get home and not really like just say goodnight to my parents, just go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like there were really like times like that. But I can say, like, just because you have those times doesn't mean you're wrong or you're bad or you're like a sinner, you know? But I didn't want it to be better. I didn't want to have like that lifestyle. Everything started to change, and I started noticing that my faith was going down when I started doing wrong things. And
me too. I can relate to that, definitely. Yeah. I definitely think, like, as we make mistakes, if we don't try to correct them, I definitely notice that, you know, your faith gets tested.
Yeah.
And when it gets tested and you're continuing to make that, there's one thing with like making a mistake and then you're like, oh shoot, I made a mistake, let me change this.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing, in biblically we always say, you know, you're always forgiven no matter the mistake. But it's another thing when you're making that mistake repeatedly,
mm-hmm.
like making it over and over and over again, then it's like you've forgiven, yeah, but it gets harder for you to change.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and to for you to accept the forgiveness.
That's
and so it's
true.
It's one, you know, it's one thing to do it once, but it's another thing to repeat it.
Yeah.
And I think that was mistakes I made. I made the same mistake over and over and over again, making it hard for me to forgive myself through that process.
Yeah, and you know, I think the craziest thing is that when we make mistakes, we think that now, oh my God, now God doesn't want to talk to me.
Right.
Or
like the door's closed
now,
or something.
Now I'm really far from God. He's not hearing me. But actually, and the things that we do is like, we do the opposite. Instead of falling more towards God,
we fall away. We're like, what's wrong with
you? Yeah. And the craziest thing is like, it's like, let's say you're violent, an example, I am God, and then you make the mistake, but I'm still here, I haven't moved. The only thing is like, what you do from now on. That of course the relationship has to start all over again, but it doesn't mean that I am far away, I'm still here. And I think that's crazy that we do that, like, I think we said we used to do that, it's because if you make the mistake, don't think like, oh, now God is not going to hear
over.
Me. I'm not going to read my Bible tonight because how can I read the Bible if I did something wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you did something wrong, read your Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, commit yourself even to learn more about him, because he will make you
change. Know that, like, even though it was wrong, like, it doesn't make you a bad person, it doesn't make, you know, it doesn't mean you need to restart your whole process. No, start back where you were, and keep going on that path.
Yes.
You know, and forgive yourself, like, okay, I forgive myself for this, I'm gonna trust in God, I'm gonna hand over whatever I did to God, and he's gonna help me not make this mistake again. I'm gonna have to be honest with myself when I feel myself going down that path. I need to correct it. Like, what are the things that start happening? You know, maybe your attitude starts changing. Like, maybe if things, you know, you start, you know, taking in things that you're not supposed to. Maybe you're watching things or listening to music that is leading you away from God. Start noticing those habits as your faith, when your faith is weakening. So you can be like, oh, these are the things that are happening. Let me correct it.
Yeah.
So let's get back to one thing. We've talked about Ecuador, we've talked about your schooling, but what's now? Now you're out of college, you're in a relationship now, which you didn't have in high school and you didn't have in college. What is your faith like now? Now that, you know, you've gone through your ups and downs, have you figured out who you are more in Christ?
Well, definitely, I think that now my identity lies on Christ and who he is, because now I know he is in me. And one thing that I did learn is that you cannot be led by your emotions. You cannot let that control your life. And the Bible does talk about it, that we have to have self-control. And that's only through the help of the Holy Spirit. But I think my life did make a change when there was, I always tell this, like, this is where I really met, like, oh my God, like, there is this God, you know? So there was a really dark time in my life, and I remember that I got to the point where I was like, okay, oh my God, like, I have to do something differently. And I remember that I was sitting on the edge of my bed. It wasn't here, it was in another room. So I was sitting on the edge of my bed, and I had a mirror in front of me. And I remember looking at myself, and I didn't see myself anymore. I didn't even knew who was that person anymore, because I was so in a dark place that I didn't recognize me anymore. And I remember that day I asked God, God, you have to do something with my life, because if you don't do something, I don't know where I'm going to end up. And I remember in that exact moment when I finished my prayer, I remember God, it was like God holding me, and I felt his love like I never felt before. And I felt so clean and so new, and it's something that you cannot really understand, like how you can feel that, because I did felt. And that's why I always can say, you cannot understand God's love, because it goes more than your imagination. And that that's when God answered my prayer, and he led me to read a book that was called Walking Above Your Feelings. And it was crazy because when I started reading the book, I understand why I was acting that way. And I understand that emotions are good, but you have to control them. So now, I had had a lot of experiences, but now I can have more tools. Like instead of before, what I will do instead of when I did a mistake, instead of going to church, I would not go to church. But now I understand, okay, if you do a mistake, you can now go to church. And the current thing that I'm learning now is that being a Christ follower, in the beginning, you are followed by what your heart desires. But it gets to the point that you cannot wait for that desire anymore. But you have to say to yourself, okay, I commit myself in learning more about who is Jesus Christ, in learning more about who I am in Jesus Christ, and what he has given me, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And I can definitely say, it gets to the point when you realize my relationship with God is not based on a feeling, but it's based on a commitment that he already has made it to me, but I have to repeat myself that I also made that commitment to learn more about him.
No, I think that's good. I mean, it's definitely something that I struggle with myself, is that commitment is like, I have the commitment, I want the commitment, like I see the commitment, but taking the action to be a part of it is a whole nother step that is something I'm working on personally. Yeah. So like I said, one of my goals right now is to wake up at 5 a.m. and read my Bible for an hour. I have not been able to do it yet. And that's because I have not made the choice to do it yet. I can do it, it's just I'm procrastinating my growth, which is something I know probably, whatever you want to call him, the devil, Lucifer, negative sides, wants. You know, he wants you to procrastinate your faith. He wants you to postpone the things you're meant to do. And I'm sharing this because I'm trying to make a big point that we're not perfect. To actually execute, it takes more than what your flesh wants, aka laying in bed for an extra hour or whatever that is, and going with what your faith and your Holy Spirit needs. Because the life we live here on earth is short, but the time that we have in heaven is long, and but what we do here determines where we end up in heaven.
Definitely.
Like, you can be sitting on the ground at God's feet, or you can be, you know, have a house in the hills with, like, next to God. So it's up to you.
Yeah.
You want to be sitting on the floor or have a house in the hills?
Yeah, definitely.
That depends on what you do with your faith, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely true. And something that sometimes we need to think about, God is not this magic thing that makes something disappear, you know? But he is what we actually need, so we can understand things that we ourselves don't understand. Just like before I picked this topic, I remember I was in the shower, and I was like, okay, God, why do you want us to talk about? Like, seriously, I don't even know. Because that's what I did. I procrastinated. I was like, okay, I'll do it tomorrow, and then I'll do it tonight. And then I was like, no, I have to do this before we start.
Because we always procrastinate.
Yeah. So, but it's crazy to think that even though we are not perfect, yet God still uses us.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like,
oh my God, I've been used in some ways where it's like, you walk out of the situation, you're like, hold up, God, what did you just use my voice for? Like, excuse me, those are not my ideas. You're like, because there's times where you're talking to a friend, all of a sudden, it's not you talking anymore, but it's just your voice, and you walk out of it and you're like, huh? How did that even happen? And so I definitely had some of those experiences.
Yeah, definitely.
But because our topic is, you know, God is calling you, what do you think your calling is? You know, like,
so,
for you?
That's actually a great thing. I actually questioned and I asked pastor about this, like, how do you find out your calling? How do you find out, like, okay, this is what God wants you to do? And it's basically that it's not something you know automatically. And if you really think back on, like, stories from the Bible, think about Abraham. God didn't what he was exactly going to do,
mm-hmm.
but God gave him a first step, you know? If you think about, let's say, Paul, God called him, but he didn't say, okay, you're going to be preaching to the Gentiles later
right.
on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what carried me on. I knew God called me for something great to do on this earth. Like, I know that, but I'm still in the process of preparation. I know that what he wants me to do, he will let me know when he knows it's the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I can, not that I, but you can believe that also for yourself, that God has already called you. Even the Bible, the Bible says that he called you before you were even, when you were even in your mother's womb. He already called you, and he gave you a purpose, a task to do in this earth. Now the thing is, like, are you preparing yourself to do this task? So when he says, okay, this is what you should do, are you ready to do it?
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot say, like, okay, this is what God wants me to do right now, but I'm sure and I'm confident that I will be able to say that one day.
But you know that you have that feeling deep inside you that you, like, you know that there's definitely something meant for you, and that you're going in that direction.
Definitely.
Like, you're choosing to walk in faith to go in that direction,
definitely.
Even if it may be unclear.
Yeah, I can definitely say that with confidence, that God has a great plan and purpose for me. I can say
mm-hmm.
that, and I think that he has that for everybody too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of, like, do you believe?
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I know for myself, like, there's a few things I've already understood. Like, I know I have a path, and I know I'm walking on that path, and there's a few things that have become clear to me. Like, I know that it has something to do with speaking. I do know that for a fact. And I know it has something to do with, you know, putting myself out there on a platform
mm-hmm.
where it's like, I'm going to get judged. There's going to be, you know, people that don't agree with me. It's going to take a lot of faith
mm-hmm.
and it's going to take a lot of heart, like a lot of spirit, to be like okay with the fact that there may be hundreds of millions of, or millions of people that don't
yeah.
agree with what I say, or that, you know, are going to judge or question me. And I'm working on being prepared for that. And I think it's going to become very clear once I do the thing that I'm procrastinating the most, is waking up early, reading my Bible for that hour, maybe 2 hours.
And, you know,
I can feel that it'll become more clear.
And that's actually, that follows with the Bible verse that...
All right, okay, yeah.
You see, that's how God really works.
It's
works
true.
Like 3 minutes. You don't really know how he's going to do it, but he does it. So in Jeremiah 1:5, let me go to first. I don't remember exactly what it says, but at home, you can also go to your Bible, or if you don't have a Bible, just Google it. Jeremiah 1:5 says, can you read it?
Pour it up. I'm a little slower at this for you. Remember, I'm still learning. Jeremiah 1:5. Okay.
Yeah.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation.
So here, if you really read closely, he says, I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
That means he already knows us. We don't even sometimes know ourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
But he knew you even before. You know, and that's crazy, because sometimes we questions like about our futures, you know, about the things what we're going to do. But if we really go to the Bible, he will let us know. And the thing, that example, you're saying you're procrastinating waking up at 5 a.m. to read your Bible, is like an example of procrastinating to know who you are.
Right, definitely.
You know, and to know not just who you are, but what you're meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy to know that God already knows you, and he has written it here in his word.
And, like, I know that I'm supposed to do it, but I'm choosing not to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I mean, even there it talks about, like, you know, he knows me even before we know us, and that we are meant to do something, to speak to nations. Like, we're meant to do something more than just live.
Yeah.
You know, we're meant to, you know, every blessing that we receive is not our blessing. It's for us to share that blessing
mm-hmm.
or to share the knowledge. Like, you may be living a life and you think I'm just living an ordinary life, but what you don't understand is the situations that you have been through are for you to have gone through so you can teach others to how to get through them, mm-hmm. how to trust in your faith when you're getting through those. You know, nobody's life is perfect, but, and everybody's life, you know, we are unique, but there are situations that happen in our life that are similar to other people. Mm-hmm. And so those similarities you can speak on and talk to other people about, you know, so they are able to get through them just mm-hmm. as you can. You know, definitely. Like, think about how many divorced parents there are. There's so many people that are going through that situation and they need help. And maybe your way of how you got through it can help.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. And that's true, you know? And another thing, like, to support the topic, or not the topic, but to support the title, God is calling you, it's not on what we say, oh, hey, God is calling you, no. But it's actually what the word is saying. So if you go to John 15:16, you're going to find out. John 15:16.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you.
So we didn't choose God, we didn't choose him, but he chose us. So we can, even it says here, so we can bear fruit, and not just any fruit, but fruit that will last. So an example is like building a legacy.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's important that when people hear the word bear fruit and they're like, does that mean like an orange or something? And it doesn't. It means whatever that blessing is that you received, mm-hmm. it's so it multiplies. You know, if that means you're doing something more materialistic and you're creating something, it's for you to be able to grow that and to help others grow theirs.
God does choose you. We don't choose him. And yeah, like bearing fruit for like that will last. So like building the legacy. And what's crazy about this thing, not crazy, but like what this Bible verse, it's not something that happens automatically. This is actually a process.
Mm-hmm.
Because to bear fruit, you first have to plant the seed.
Yeah. I think that's definitely something for another time. But because that's a long topic. We can talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
But we have one more, right?
Yeah. So we have to go to Isaiah 45:3.
Would you like me to read it?
Yes, please.
I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name.
Okay, so in different versions, but summons is more meaning like calling you, but he doesn't just call you, but he calls you by your name,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, if sometimes you think about like, oh, is really someone out there or something like that, there is actually someone that's calling you by your name and that has already chosen you before you were even born. Those are the things that we can share with you guys. Like I told you, this isn't about like teaching you, but sharing, and if this helps you, you can take that for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and know that in this lifestyle, in this Christ following lifestyle, it's not about let's say the mistakes you make, but about how much are you willing to become better and not do those mistakes anymore.
Yeah, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for your past. Forgive yourself for your mistakes. Forgive the people that hurt you, and allow yourself to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to take that charge. And like myself, I have to take control over my emotions and my choices and read my Bible because I know I need to. we want to thank you for coming on this journey with us and for listening to this podcast and getting all the way through. We are going to be posting this. You can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, LinkedIn. All the links will be in the description. So will our personals be in the description. And this is our first podcast. We're excited. They're going to go up every Monday, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, definitely. And I would like to end up with one question. Think about how is your relationship with God right now, and think about how it can be better on these next few days.
You want to give us a out prayer?
So yeah, definitely. Thank you, Lord, for Heavenly Father, for this beautiful day. And in Jesus' name, we pray that everyone who hears this podcast will be provided with some experiences from us that will help them. And we bless each one of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, sis.